All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hey, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be your host today. And today we're going to be talking all about music. We've got a couple of guests on, and we're going to be talking about their songs. And I'm really excited to hear. We've got one from Operation Song, and then we've got Lem Genovese, who is going to be on talking about his music as soon as we figure out all the technical issues that are going on here. And before we get into that, we might always have to make sure that we thank our sponsors. We can't do this program without them. So I want to make sure that you know who these people are. All right. Number one, of course, is Legal Help for Veterans. And Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. Call Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 or go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website, nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. PuroClean. PuroClean is known as the paramedics of property damage. Each PuroClean office is independently owned and operated. In fact, PuroClean is one of the nation's leading restoration franchise networks and is made up of entrepreneurs, yep, just like you. And veterans get 25% off the franchise fee. So for more information, go to PuroClean.com. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. And finally, the Irwin Prescott American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you'd like to support Veterans Radio, please go to our website, veteransradio.org, click on that little donate button, and thank you very much in advance. All right, we're going to get to my first guest here, and that is David Kent. And David is working with the Operation Song Organization and has put together a song. So, David, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. Pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you on. So tell me how you got involved with Operation Song.
Oh, my goodness. I joined Operation Song, I'm going to guess, around 10 years ago. It was just a year or two, I think, after their inception. And a good friend of mine, an extremely talented songwriter, but more than that, just a marvelous human being by the name of Bob Regan, started this organization. I could give you the history if you have the time of how he came upon
a little bit. I think people will be interested in that.
All right. Well, he was not a veteran himself any more than I've been. But he has worked as he's just an extremely talented musician. He's worked as a guitarist, and he's a fabulous songwriter, and is a mainstay of Nashville song community. And he was working, I believe, doing USO shows or something like that, where he was entertaining troops over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and realized very quickly just how incredibly important music is as a language and as a portal to reaching people. It is truly an international language. And so many of these active duty soldiers over there reacted to just having some music brought to them. I realized how freeing it was to have him there. And when he came back, he thought to himself, you know, so many of these veterans come back after seeing some horrendous things and living through some horrible conditions. And many of them are wounded either physically or in many cases emotionally and mentally, and have not benefited as we'd hoped they would from talk therapy, drug therapy, working with the VA, no matter how hard they tried. And right. He thought, what would it feel like if we were just to take a veteran who was in a bad way and ask him to open up and tell his story through song? Even if a veteran said, well, I don't know how to write a song. I've not musical. I don't play an instrument. And he said, well, you leave that to me. You just tell your story and we'll make a song out of it. And very, very quickly, he realized how powerful that whole concept, how powerfully it worked, and expanded and enlisted a bunch of other professional songwriters from here in Nashville to work with veterans. And it was an incredible first step in seeing the transformation that some of these people had been able to make advancements through other forms of therapy. But they were not threatened at all by saying, just tell us your story and we'll see if we can song. And so well, and I've been, I was so honored to have been asked to join them so many years ago and have seen with my own eyes things that I would never have guessed have been possible. I've seen soldiers who come back and unable to speak in more than one or two word sentences or grunts and sort of shut themselves off from the world. And yet, I personally have worked with people who didn't go anywhere without their wife, a support animal, a support person, and were basically locked up inside themselves. And yet we were able to crack through. In one case, it was a fellow who was had been a medic. And he was in this bad way. And we worked together. We wrote a song together. And after we were done, he was so proud of the song. And I learned through the process that before he joined the service, back when he was a teenager, he himself had been in a rock band and was the lead singer. And so I asked him, normally what happens is we take these songs and we either go into a studio with some hired musicians and produce a very nice demo or record quality production. Sometimes I do them here at home in my home studio where I am able to put down some drums and some keyboard and guitar parts and sing the thing and turn it into a very nice presentation. In this case, I asked him if he wanted to do the vocal on it. And he said, well, he'd be glad to give it a try. And he came out to the house and he sang it. And it turned out better than the version I had done earlier where I sang it myself. He did a great job. He was so proud of it. He ended up calling his father, people he had not been in touch with in 5 years, and just said, you've got to hear this song. His wife was just over the moon about how it opened him up and how it brought him back into society. That is only one of hundreds of stories of people who have been very, very near even suicidal situations. But well, on one hand, they had a pistol or a bottle. And on the other hand, they had a cassette tape of the song they had done. And they've turned around to the point that you can take it from here.
All right. Well, Operation Song is an incredible organization that our audience should know. We've played quite a few Operation Song songs and gotten the stories behind them. So tell me about this new song that you're involved with. Tell me about that.
Okay, I will be glad to. But before I do, I want to know if I have a chance to talk about it after the song plays, because this song has a bit of a twist and a surprise in it, and I don't want to give away any spoilers by saying too much in the introduction thereof.
No, I'll bring you back after we play the song.
But, okay, great. Then what I will tell you before we play it is I work with this group in Murfreesboro, the Murfreesboro Operation Song Alumni Group, and by alumni, I've been through the program. Everyone in this group of probably a dozen or more people, I would say the Vietnam veterans, but not all of them, maybe 60-70% of them are. They've been through the program and they enjoyed it so much and felt like it was an important thing enough to establish a group that would continue writing songs all the time. They have two sessions a year where it's about 8 weeks, once in the spring and once in the fall, where they all get together with a songwriter and we write a song every week. It's just a continuation of the program I had been through in the first place. And I'm so lucky to work with this group of people. In this case, there's a guy named Mike and his wife, Kathy, who both come to the group regularly. And I can tell you, I don't want to tell you too much what we were talking about, but because of what I said before about spoiling the twist in the song, but we got to talk about mothering, and we actually thought that this episode of your show today would be closer to Mother's Day, but it doesn't much matter. We'll go ahead with it anyhow. And we talked about mothering, and all I will say is that this song is about the jobs that mothers do. It's called, it's called That's What Mamas Do. And I was lucky enough to get my wife, who is a wonderful singer, but not always happy about coming up in the studio and singing because she's a little self-conscious about it. I don't know why, because she does a lovely job. She's the one singing on this song called That's What Mamas Do. That's all I'll tell you right now, and we'll play the song and talk about it afterwards. Is that all right?
Okay, right. Here we go. So That's What Mamas Do.
Oh, my goodness, look at you. Haven't we made quite a mess? Crackers and tomato soup all over your favorite dress. But I can wash your pretty face, 'cause that's what I'm here for. All too soon there'll come a day when you won't need me anymore. But don't you worry, never fear, you know I'm gonna be right here to braid your hair and take good care of you, 'cause that's what mamas do. Get lost all on your own. Then I'll draw your bubble bath and dress you in your nicest clothes. I'll pull out some old photographs, how you love to look at those. It's all in how you look at things. We live, we learn, we grow. And we can curse this damn disease, but I see opportunities to do for you what you did for me 60-some long years ago.
Don't you worry, Mama. Never fear.
You know I'm gonna be right here. You don't remember me, but I'll remember you. 'Cause that's what mamas do. I learned it all from you. That's what mamas do.
All right, David. That's what a beautiful song. That really is just gorgeous.
And so it was obvious from the beginning that a mother was talking to the person that she was taking care of. And we hoped in writing that it would sound like she was taking care of a wee baby. Feeding her and braiding her hair and taking care of her and dressing her up and taking her outside. And then the twist in the end is that you realize whom she's taking care of is her own mother, who is going through dementia in her later years. And the mother in this case is 60-some years old, and her mother is probably in her late 80s and the help to be dressed and fed and all of that because of dementia or Alzheimer's or the advanced aging effects that take place in older people's brains. And so we were hoping that that twist would make an important switch and surprise the listener. In this case, it was Mike's wife, Kathy, who I mentioned before, who had the idea. She took care of her mother in just that song from when she was like 10, called Coming for Ginny. And it was it was sung by Tex, and I don't know if those listeners remember Tex Ritter, but he was a cowboy singer. The song talked about a guy who was coming down the road with his son on his hip, and he was coming for Ginny and gonna take her away, and how threatening it was, and how could we protect this fair maiden Ginny from the guy who was on his way to come claim her. And there are all these references and throughout the song that lead you to believe it's an old Western. And it turns out at the end, you find out that the guy who's coming to get her is a little 5-year-old boy, and Ginny is his little 4-year-old sister or a neighbor, and it's all in fun. And she always wished she could have a song that had that same kind of surprise twist, but dealing with the case that instead of it sounding like a mother taking care of a baby, it was a mother taking care of her own mother. So that's what we attempted to do with this song. And I think we achieved it pretty well. I've played it for people, of course, about this at the meetings, and then I sang with all the information I've gotten from the group. And so when I played, they all knew what for. Well, there was one guy who hadn't been at the earlier meeting, and he came to the one where we played the song, and so he was the one we were looking to see if he was surprised and the twist. And in fact, it worked. So we were all pretty happy with that result.
I would think so. David, thank you so much for sharing this song. Where can our listeners get a hold of a copy of it?
I'm assuming you could go to operationsong.com. I think in one way or another, all of the songs are available there. And I know that well over 1,000 songs, maybe close to 1,000 songs, I could be wrong, have been recorded over the last 10 years or so. But if you contact operationsong.com, a place at the website where you could contact them, and they could provide you a copy or at least tell you how to access it online.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've got it, so I'll put it on our website so our listeners can listen to it. And Dave, I want to thank you so very much for being on our program today. And thank you for such a really beautiful song.
Anytime.
What moments to know. Thanks for being on our program.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on. You have a great
All right,
day.
Dave. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope
All so right. too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to do our Medal of Honor segment. And when we come back, we've got our next guest, Lem Genovese. We just uploaded some of his songs, so we should be ready to go. So you're listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Warrant Officer Frederick Ferguson led a four-ship helicopter formation into a South Vietnamese army compound under heavy fire. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
After completing a hitch on the Navy, Ferguson got his commercial pilot's license and then joined the Army to fly helicopters. 2 weeks after graduating from helicopter school, he was in Vietnam. On January 31st, 1968, Ferguson heard that a 1st Cavalry helicopter had gone down in Hue and another had been badly shot up trying to rescue them. Ferguson and his crew agreed to go get them,
While refueling, he asked three Huey gunships if they wanted to accompany him. They did. The GIs in the compound reported they were under heavy fire. Ferguson circled until the fire abated, then began a low-level high-speed run into the compound. He descended blindly in a dust storm from his rotors. When he touched down, he saw there was only 1 foot clearance on each side of his blades. The GIs jumped aboard and Ferguson pulled up. A mortar shell exploded under his aircraft, spinning it 180 degrees. One of the Hueys was shot down and the crew rescued. The other two were so badly shot up by the time they landed, they were no longer able to fly. Ferguson received his Medal of Honor from President Nixon on May 17, 1969.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, we're back here on Veterans Radio, and we're talking music today. And my guest right now is Lem Genovese. And Lem is he's a musical veteran troubadour. He's been, he was in Vietnam. Let me see, I got it written down here. What he was doing in Vietnam, my goodness, you know, it says he was with the 1st Aviation Brigade. Hey, I know about those folks. And then he was a medic during the Persian Gulf War. And this guy stayed on for a long time, 209th Med Clearing Company, attached to the 1st Infantry Division. That's the Big Red One. He lives in Wisconsin, been writing, performing tunes about the Vietnam War since the early 70s. And he actually contacted me because he said, hey, how about having a Vietnam veteran on that's still around that can play some of his songs? And so that's why we did that. So, Lem, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Always nice to speak with a fellow member of the Alumni Association of Chicken on a Stick.
There you go. There you go. For those of people who are not familiar with that, the symbol of the 1st Aviation Brigade is an eagle with a sword.
Golden hawk. It's a golden hawk on a sword. Landing.
There
on
you go. Sort of like chicken fricassee.
if you remember the tail insignia of the American Airlines back in the 60s and early 70s, what the heraldic artist did was reverse that eagle. And a lot of the patches, a lot of the units basically had that sword as the center of their shoulder patch. And so MACV had a broken line of a castle wall. And 1st Aviation Brigade, 1st Signal Brigade used that same basic design. And we were the ones that had the hawk landing on the hill of the sword. And I still think it's one of the most beautiful patches the Army ever produced.
It is awesome. I have a few samples of it around here.
Yeah, me too.
But people, you know, obviously cannot see that on radio.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lynn, thanks so much for joining me. Tell me about how you got involved in songwriting.
Well, I was a musician in high school. I started out on bongos and conga. And I want to plug the book because it explains the musical journey that I've taken in my life. This is an independent publication. I only made 100 copies, but you can go to eBooks. And I think Amazon, you can pick it up dirt cheap. And it's called The Tunesmith Chronicles, A Musical History Tour.
Tunesmith Chronicles.
It's several hundred pages. The original copy is a coffee table size with large print for us who are losing some of our eyesight as we age.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But that took several years to write. But okay, so high school, it was basically acoustic folk trios through junior college. And then when I went to NAM, I picked up the auto harp, which was a poor man's guitar. Basically, you press a button, it makes a chord. And so that was my first introduction to chord progressions. And I ordered from the Pacex catalog a Yamaha guitar and had it sent home. And when I was at the University of Iowa, I was blessed to have so many great songwriters around that area, including the folky Greg Brown, who's, if you're from the upper Midwest, you know who Greg Brown is. And if you know reggae, you'll know Tony Brown. And all of them were in Iowa City at the same time. And so I'm soaking up all this information and all these great chord progressions and how to write a song. And basically took as many courses as I could in creative writing and journalism and poetry to hone the craft, as it were. So by the time I got out of the University of Iowa, I become a Vietnam Veterans Advocate. I went to National Association of Concerned Veterans conventions for several years in a row and entertained there. And from there, a lot of the guys that were veterans campus reps would book me to play their college for the veterans and the community at large. And that's pretty much how it took off. I didn't start recording, though, until the late 70s. I just didn't feel like I was ready.
Well, I mean, I think it takes a lot of courage to be a songwriter. I know I was talking to a friend of mine who was also, you know, in Vietnam at the same time that, you know, that we were. I mean, I was there in 69.
Yep.
And he played guitar. And, you know, he said he'd sit around his barracks, you know, and he was in the infantry, and he, you know, to kind of relax, he would play that. And he says some colonel came around one time and said that the Filipino band needed a player, and we know you play, so you get up there and you play with them. And so he said,
no, I went up there and say,
you know, no pressure. But, you know, the bands that we heard,
yeah,
you know, while we were in Vietnam were really kind of really pretty good.
Yeah, reality. There was a couple of Filipino bands in particular that impressed me to the point in Longman, I was getting ready to go home, where I'm just going, these guys should be recording.
Right.
That's how good they
sounded exactly like the record they were copying.
Yep, exactly.
So my friend got to play with them, and he said it was an awesome experience for him.
Yeah.
And he said they blew me away. You know,
yeah,
they were so good.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of music.
I personally think that, you know, it's been referred to as the first rock and roll war. And I was amazed when I found out that Toy Caldwell, who's the lead guitarist and leader of the band Marshall Tucker, was a Marine Vietnam vet. He never mentioned it, but through friends of mine, I found out that Toy Caldwell was a Nam vet. And one of the guys on the played for the Fireballs that had Come On, React, and then another hit single, he was drafted and he went over. So there are a few of us. My 3 years in San Francisco, I got to sit in with Country Joe McDonald on harmonica, which was a real kick for me, because I can remember watching Woodstock in 69 before I went over in 70. And never thought in a million years that I would get to perform with Joe McDonald, but here we are. You know, we did benefits for three solid years all over the Bay Area, and I had a blast. What an absolute mentor he was for me as a musician, as a professional entertainer, and as a songwriter. In fact, one of the songs on the Recon album, I wrote it in his kitchen, and I borrowed his 12 string.
You know, musicians, they all jam. And I think that's what's great about that.
It's such a giving art form, and it's really great therapy. So we might as well get into playing one of the songs from Righteous Reconnaissance. Let me show you here. So at least
I've got a couple of them that we I've got Love Among the Ruins.
Yeah, Love Among the Ruins is sort of my answer to, if we could have a conversation with the honored dead of Vietnam, what would be the one question they would ask us? And immediately I thought, what have you been doing with your life?
Right. Yeah. How do you
came to mind? Because, you know, I was combat infantry trained. I was totally ready to go over there as a grunt. So I had made peace with dying in Vietnam before I even went over. I figured the mindset that I had was a lot like, some of my uncles who had known combat infantrymen in both the Pacific and the European theaters. And they had that mindset. We're going to one day at a time, do the best job we can, but understand the odds. And I think that once I was made a clerk in a combat aviation battalion headquarters unit in the Mekong Delta, I took that aspect of that professionalism with me my entire tour. I just tried to do the best job I could every single day for the troops to make sure they had what they needed.
Well, we, you know, also being in an aviation company, of course, it depended upon the people back in the company area to make sure that, you know, they knew where I was, that the aircraft were
That's exactly my point. Was these guys working 18-hour days, 20-hour days, making sure these shot up Hueys, these shot up fixed wing bird dogs, the Loaches, the Chinook. We didn't have Chinooks, but on occasion one would come in banged up, and we had to, you know, our guys would have to work on it. So yeah, those were the guys I dedicated my time to.
Okay, well, why don't we play this song? It's called "Love Among the Ruins."
Yeah.
And so this is Lem Genovese, and here it is.
This is my wall song.
Sometimes out of friendship, the strongest love will grow. Sometimes you never notice, and sometimes you'll never know. Believing's not so easy when you open old wounds again. But trusting that you have to let them start to mend. Without you all my battles never will be won. It's easier in silence when all is said and done. They'll never know the difference between the passion and the blood. Never see the distance from the water and the mud. It's the richest, not the cheapest. It flows the stillest and the deepest. The brightest and the steepest in my life. Now what have you been doing with love among the ruins? What have you been doing with your life? Granite names on the wall reflecting why this man must sing. Keeping track of the present, we get so lost in the past. Turning my back on that legacy that reads, nice guys finish, nice guys finish, nice guys finish last. It's the richest, not the cheapest. Flows the stillest and the deepest. The brightest and the steepest in my life. Now what have you been doing with love among the ruins? What have you been doing with your life? Thank you. I laugh. Now, coach, won't you put me in the second half? It only hurts when I laugh. Now, coach, put me in the second half. It only hurts when I laugh.
That was Love Among the Ruins, and it's really kind of unfortunate that those of us who are doing this thing on Zoom, we can't hear all of the great music that, you know, we can either hear the lyrics or sometimes we can hear the melody, and I'm sorry we couldn't hear your 12-string.
No problem.
The good news is
that had I known back in the early 80s that I would have re-enlisted in the National Guard, the end of the song is, coach, won't you put me in the second half? It only hurts when I laugh. It was very prophetic, and I didn't know it at the time, but I ended up as a combat medic in Desert Storm 20 years to the day. Just blows my mind when I stop and think about that I was in good enough physical condition, and I'd had a break in service because I was a veterans advocate for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. I went in, I think I was 35 or 36, and then did the rest of it to do the full 20 so I could retire out. And it's interesting how much I learned as a Vietnam veteran, as an advocate, combat infantry trained, and then became a medic. Being able to literally see the other side of the coin, where we're liberating a country that stayed liberated, was one of the greatest honors of my life. And so the songs from that I wrote after Desert Storm, I think, are a little better balanced, and they're a little jazzier. And I'm sure that's probably I'm sure that's the reason the folks from Nashville, from Operation Song, when I sent them a CD, they had no concept of what I was doing, because it's just it's way different from where they're coming from, and I'm cool with that.
Well, I mean, there are some, you know, some really great organizations. I mean,
well, I understand, you know, and I know that I know as a therapy, it's absolutely perfect. I mean, it kept me from committing suicide.
No,
I mean, if I hadn't picked up the guitar, I wouldn't be here today.
I think that's, I've talked to a number of people that feel the same way. I know there's an organization in Wisconsin, I think it's called Warrior Songs.
Well, then you've also got Guitars for Vets.
Yeah, that's around here. I know we've got a number of people.
Yeah, there's chapters all over the United States now. It started in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's not too late.
Madison,
I guess it's not too late.
Milwaukee, yeah.
Maybe I can still learn how to play.
Oh, listen, I didn't actually pick up a guitar until I was like 25, and I've known veterans from Vietnam that once they're retired and they've got the time, they're doing the guitar thing. They're either taking lessons or they're part of Guitars for Vets, where there's a program where you learn how to play.
Well, the nice thing about Guitar for Vets is that, you know, as you learn how to play, I guess when you graduate, you get to keep the guitar.
Right. And it's been really fun that one of the best known guitar shops here in La Crosse is Dave's Guitars. And he's got like three other shops in Wisconsin, and he has donated some guitars to Guitars for Vets, that's as good as it gets in my book. Here's a guy that is making good money since the 70s. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to do that for veterans.
Well, I think there's a lot more people out there that support veterans than we realize.
Yeah.
And
it's a good feeling to know that how much this country's changed in that regard since Vietnam. And I think Vietnam veterans are the ones that kind of spearheaded that no other generation is going to get ignored like we did.
Right. Absolutely.
I feel good about that. I just wish there were some more venues out there that would at least give me a chance to perform again. But, you know,
you never know.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can come up with. You did get involved with, you mentioned one of the other songs that you wanted us to play today was the Elegy.
Yeah, if we've only got time for one more, let's do Elegy for the Fallen. I just hope to God the folks can hear the 12 string, because this is a, it's really interesting that I had the beginning of it. I borrowed it, there's a chapter on it in the memoir, mm-hmm. but I borrowed a chaplain's guitar the night before the ground war started in Desert Storm. And I had tried to figure out the actual introduction and into the first part of it. Then my wife, who was my Desert Storm pen pal, allowed me to buy my first 12-string acoustic. And one day after the wedding, about 6 months afterwards, I was following the chord progression of Crosby, Stills, and Nash's Wooden Ships. The next thing I knew, I had the second half of the song ready to go. She's downstairs listening, and she goes, "What was that?" And I go, "I have no idea." She said, "Can you play it again?" And I go, "Let me try it." And she said, "You have to record that." Mm-hmm. And so this is what happens. This is Elegy for the Fallen. This was used on the funeral scene for the 15 Marines in the documentary Patrol Base Jaeger. Okay. And that's exactly what I wrote it for, was, you know, if you just had an acoustic guitar, this is what I was shooting for. But if I had piano, concert harp, maybe a string section in certain parts, it would be absolutely perfect for another documentary or a movie about veterans.
Yeah,
well, I'm so sure. Let's give it a shot.
Well, let's give it a shot. Now, again, remember, we're not going to be able to hear it clearly at all.
I'm but crossing
the audience out there, the audience out there will hear it all.
Yeah,
that's the thing to remember. Okay, so here we go. Elegy for the Fallen. That song is beautiful in its own way, and I was reading the notes on the CD cover, and it's just, was this dedicated to Gold Star families?
Yes. Like I said, there's a chapter in the book about it. And I always thought TAPS was too short. And there's a reason for that. And I'm good with it. But Gold Star families, doesn't matter whether it's in training or in combat, when you lose a loved one, a family member in military service, you earn that Gold Star the hard way. And I always thought they needed something uplifting to listen to when that date comes around, whether it's Memorial Day, Veterans Day, or the day their loved one actually passed. And that this particular piece really kind of resonated for that to me. That's who I envisioned would get the best sense of serenity when they're thinking about the loss of their loved one, which is a huge, huge milestone in any family's life. It's something they never forget. Been around those folks at my concerts in particular for years, and always felt like I hadn't done enough for them musically. So this is my homage to them.
Well, it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just an incredibly talented man. You know, I think that's I'm really jealous of that.
Well, hopefully there's more admiration than jealousy, Dale.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's more admiration than jealousy. It's only because I can't sing and I can't do any of the instrumental stuff.
Yeah, but what you're doing is very important to the community at large, my friend.
And well, I appreciate
that's
that.
That's a gift in and of itself every time you do one. And you should remind yourself of that.
We've got a little time here to kind of talk about some of these things. And I, as I said, I wish we could hear, because I wanted to just play. I want to play just a little bit of the, again, we won't be able to hear it where we are, of the Six Lazari Lane. Tell me a little bit about that.
Surprisingly, for a kid from Des Moines, Iowa, I'm a third generation New York Yankees fan.
Oh, that's too
bad. So, being Sicilian... Not Italian, being Sicilian on both sides of the family, my grandfather, who was an immigrant, and my father loved the Yankees. I mean, they were fanatics about it. And when the first Italian-American to use his real name, Tony Lazari, joined the Yankees in 1926, that pretty much solidified it. You know, prior to that, you had to use a fake name, believe it or not.
No, I believe that.
There was a Yankee who was an Italian-American, but he went by the name of Ping, just like the golf club, Ping Bodie, B-O-D-I-E. Francesco Pizzolo was his real name, okay? He roomed with Babe Ruth. So when Tony came around, that kind of broke the ice. He was like the Jackie Robinson. So, okay, that's how Six Lazari Lane got its name, because of him.
Okay, I just want to play... just 1 minute of this, and just because the drive of this particular song is amazing. We've only got 3-4 minutes left anyway.
Great.
Well, we're gonna play this right now. I just wanted to play the introduction to that, because that was just something that I just put in the car and just drove with that. We have some live music going on here, ladies and gentlemen. That's the part. I'm sorry, people cannot see this. He pulled his guitar off of his wall. Thank you. Thank you, Lim. That was really, when I put that in the CD, I have an old car, obviously. Yeah. I put the CD player and I hit that thing and it was just like I was pulled back into the 60s and stuff, and it just that driving rhythm there. And anyway,
I still love the music from that decade. You're not the first person to tell me that I reinvent 60s music. And Six Lazaria Lane was a gift, man. I flat out went, okay, if Booker T and the MGs had met Buddy Holly, this is what it would sound like.
I have to agree.
All right.
So we can get all of this music. We've been talking with Lem Genovese today here on Veterans Radio. His albums are available on Amazon. You can just download them from Amazon, which is kind of cool.
Stream them big time.
And I think he's an incredibly talented man. And I'm very happy to have had him on the program. And I'm going to ask you to stick around after the program is over so I can talk to you.
Sure.
But so as we come up to the end of today's Veterans Radio program, we always go out on a God Bless America version. And today we're going out under Jimmy Fountain. And this is one of, I want everybody to understand how much all of us, no matter where we are politically, really do love this country.
Amen.
And it's so important for us to realize that we need to get together instead of driving the way outwards. We need to come back.
Find the common ground, my brother.
Find the common ground. He's interrupting my editorial right here now. So we want to make sure. We always go out on God Bless America. So that's one of my favorite songs. And so this is what we're going to do today. And I'm probably going to have to stretch a little bit because I've got, I don't know how much time left. Just a little bit more. So, I know. 10 seconds. Never mind. Next week is our benefits program. So if you got a question, get it to us. So make sure of that. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberry for Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and to the oceans, wide with flood.